You waiting. We open session starting at 6:20. 7:20, excuse me. Wouldn't it be nice? Give myself an extra hour. The invocation will be done by Michael Flowers. The flag salute by Daniel Manares.
The grace and Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord God, for just allowing us again to come together on this evening, Lord. Father God, that you continue to have your way in each and every one of our lives. Guide us down that path of righteousness in thy name's sake, Lord God. But most of all, Lord Father God, just use us all for thy glory. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. Bless this district as a whole, Lord God. Bless our community. And Lord God, continue to bless this board, Lord God. We just ask you, Lord, continue to lead and guide us, Lord God, in the way and direction that we should go. Bless our students as a whole, Lord God, and we love you and we praise you and we thank you. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
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 Put your right hand over your heart and ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Present.
Here.
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 Here. Before we start, I'm going to do some introductions. We're excited that we now have three student representatives, and this is the first year that that's happened. Several board members had gone to an NSBA conference and found out how wonderful it is to have all the schools represented. And so we're excited that this year we get to have that. From Coronado High School, we have Cindy Sosa. She's a 12th grade student from Coronado and is currently enrolled in the leadership classes. She plans to play softball in the spring and will be participating in a variety of volunteer opportunities this year. And boy, does Coronado have some awesome volunteer opportunities. Cindy's goals are to graduate from Mount Santonio College and to transfer to UC Irvine and then attend medical school and become a doctor. Wow. Then from Edgewood High School, we have Francisco Gutierrez. He's in 12th grade. He's from Edgewood, as I said. He's on full baccalaureate diploma candidate. So I know that's a lot of work. He is the president of the National Honor Society, the president of the Speech and Debate Club, and the ASB Director of Public Relations. I don't know how he gets it all done. Fernando's goals include attending a four-year university, law school, and becoming a public defender and politician. So this is a great step. Maybe this will be your first step, your first political, and then just move right on up. If there's anything, this is the best job, so you might just want to stop. And then at West Covina High School, Crystal Beltran is a 12th grade student and is enrolled in advanced placement courses. She is a member of the National Honor Society, West Covina Youth Council, and ASB president. Crystal's goals are to attend a four-year university and have a career in the fashion industry. I don't know how all of you have so much time, are able to do all of this. This is exciting, and I know that you'll represent your schools well. So thank you for stepping forward to doing that for us. We do have one report from closed session. By a vote of 5-0, the board took action to approve a settlement agreement related to an OAH case 20160603-94. Once again, the vote was unanimous. That moves us on to our presentations. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Polis. One of the charges of staff was to reach out to the community because obviously this board believes that educating our kids is a community effort. And there was a lack of participation by the community, not necessarily because the community chose not to participate, but because there really wasn't an outreach for them to become part of our schools. Staff has done that, and I will tell you, the community has spoken. We've had ample groups willing to come participate at our schools, help our kids, and we have a very, very special group tonight that's really done yeoman's work. And to make that introduction, we have our Superintendent of Education, Denise Knutson.
Way we can because we don't want children to miss school because they're in pain. So we appreciate you doing this, and if you can help us figure out a way where that wouldn't happen, we...
Thank you so much.
We really want to.
What year did you graduate, Doctor?
So I'm class of 2002.
Okay.
But I went to the 1 year of high school and then I got my diploma at Utah State.
Okay.
So I actually got my diploma in 99, but I was class of 2002.
Class of 2002, yeah. Got it. And then what college did you end up going to?
So I actually, Cindy, I went, because I was 15 years old when I started college. I went to Mount San Antonio College.
Okay.
And then where did I transfer to?
UCI.
UC Irvine.
Wow.
Oh.
Very good.
And
what? So you went to Edmund Middle?
Edmund Middle.
And then you? Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
what
you
a
so
great
much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, outstanding.
Wow. So that moves us on to the hearing portion. Is there anything any board member would like to speak? Eileen.
Okay, I have a few things, and I'm super excited. First is to let you all know that I have been appointed to the Mount SAC Community Facilities Advisory Committee. Each trustee from Mount SAC was asked to select two members, and then the college themselves filled it with many more community members. So Trustee Santos selected me. And Mount SAC is looking at a bond for the 2018 election. So just so you all know. And so they're starting their research and prep work now. I wanted the district to know. It will not conflict. Some of the people that were part of the group also were very concerned because they said, well, we want our bonds to pass, which are going to be this coming November. And they're way, way, way in advance. So I'll let you all know some of the things that we hear. That I'm hearing, one of the things that I was surprised about is that they said they have the stats to prove it, and they'll give it to us next month, or this month, actually, but that Mount SAC is the best community college in the nation, and it is also the largest. It serves 55,000 students, and 35 of them are full-time equivalent, and they said 38% of them come from the Inland Empire. That I had no idea about. So as information is shared with me, I will share with you. But they said the last bond that they went for was back in 2006, and so they felt it was time again. So I didn't realize I was going to be sitting on a bond committee until I sat there and went, oh, okay, so I'm going to be up to my ears in bonds. Edgewood's back to school night. The student performances to see the students in dance, choir, and band was so exciting. What was really nice was how robust each of the groups looked because it was a combination of 6th through 12th graders. And so it was really, really good to see and to hear them, too. And I loved when Dr. Maddox introduced the school and the staff as IB staff and an IB school. And so that was really, really impressive. It was very well organized and effective, and it was fairly well attended. I was really pleased. West Covina High School, our back-to-school night was very well organized and very informative. The numbers, I noticed, are slightly declining, and I don't know if it was just maybe too early in the year or it was a bad night. Some of my classrooms that I was at only had two or three parents in there. So I'm looking forward to the new principal increasing that participation. I'm sure he will with all his energy. The Kings of Cameron rally. Oh, my gosh, that was energetic and electric. There's just no way any San Gabriel school, any school in the Valley can hold a candle to what West Covina does in terms of the sheer mass numbers and the energy and electricity. It was wall-to-wall in the gym, right? It was wall-to-wall. So it was good to see the city council supporting us and showing up, and all five of them were there. So that was really, really good. Again, I like to see that school-to-city partnership. The last thing is I was in D.C. this weekend, And I wanted to share, you've heard me mention Naleo before. Here, if you can pass that to the superintendent, and one for you, Daniel, Tammy, Jessica, and Mr. Flowers, that's for you. Naleo is the National Association of Latino and Elected Officials, and it is a 501c, it is a 501c4, not a 3, while the education component is 3. And the main component is a 4. And so it was a training that they paid for. They paid for the airfare. They paid for the flight. It was excellent. It was Friday and Saturday. And some of the things that we covered, well, what we were covering and focusing on was the Every Student Succeeds Act that the president just signed into law on December 10th. And so I'm going to pass this out because this is just, they had lots of experts for 2 days. It was just nonstop. And Education Trust, the national organization, has excellent, easy-to-read information on ESSA. They call it ESSA. And the four things that stood out to me that I just wanted to share with you all briefly, and that is that it the biggest is the shifting the accountability to state and local school districts. That is the biggest component of ESSA and how it's changed. The other thing that we focused on with ESSA is the English language learners, our EL population in the program. And one of the things that they highlighted was that traditionally EL has been under Title III. But now, under ESSA, we can now use Title I funds for English language professional development. And so that was new with the new ESSA bill. And then one thing that they also pointed out to all of us, which many of us from across the nation didn't realize, and that is to remember to include the paraprofessionals in teacher trainings. They said so often, well, not so often, the paraprofessionals have direct and influential contact with students, but very often they are not included in trainings. And they said if you want to roll out successful changes in your district, successful EL programs or even at-risk programs or any of those programs where you have paraprofessionals, include them because they will be your on-the-boots change because the students have relationships with them. And the last thing that I was very proud of as a Californian, and we had the largest contingency, was how the LCAP tied perfectly to what ESSA is doing. Some of the things is, for example, school climate. That's part of our LCAP with the state. Those are some of the things that ESSA is looking at. Graduation rates, again, that's part of LCAPs. Parent participation is part of our LCAP. ESSA is asking for that. And college going rates. And they want to see very clear and concise report cards on websites. And so they showed us the state of Ohio has a great user-friendly, easy-to-read one. Ours is just numbers and Excel documents. And so those things we're going to see changes nationally so that it's easy for parents, professionals, community members, et cetera, to see very quickly at a glance how schools are doing. So I wanted to pass this to Daniel and to Mr. Flowers, to Mr. Menares, if you can pass this to Trick, just so he has it. Every 2 years, Naleo does a boot camp for new new elected officials. And if you're past your two-year mark, you can never go again. So this coming November, that last handout I passed you are the dates. Mr. Flowers and Mr. Menares, I passed along your name and your email address so that they can contact you. It is 100% paid for. The scholarship pays for your airfare. It pays for all your training. It pays for your hotel accommodations. And they get nationally renowned speakers as well as White House officials, and they cover a variety of topics over the 4 days. And so you can go on their website to learn more information. You'll see the tab where it says Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can actually see the agenda. So I hope that you take advantage of this free, very informative boot camp when it comes up this coming November. So that was it. I just wanted to share those exciting things with
my
colleagues.
Do you have extra handouts for the other two board members?
No. For the other
mind them. For the boot camp?
No. For the...
Here, I already know about it.
Okay, so pass it down to them so they can
share.
For
the students?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I only make copies for... Sorry. Oh. I will in the future make copies for the student board members. I apologize. But I'm sorry, Ms. Poulos and Ms. Shoemaker and myself, we can't go to boot camp, so I didn't make copies of the boot
right.
camp.
I just thought that you were sharing some interesting information and they might want to look at it further.
Yeah, so ESSA is the reauthorization of the No Child Left Behind Act, and it's very long and lengthy and something you can read about on Christmas break. So that was it. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would have anything they would like to share? Mr. Flowers.
Good afternoon. I received this the other day from a Relay for Life. It said, congratulations to West Covina Unified School District Rising Star Team, $1,000.
Wow.
So, see that. Also, I was in Sacramento with the Water Board, and I ran across Marco Quezada. Cammy, I think you know his wife, Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked me, could we do a community garden right there, and starting with Melinda. So I got approval from the superintendent. So he said, he'll do it free of charge. Won't cost you nothing. Superintendent, you can't be free.
We like free.
Yes.
So he said, I was going to wait and talk to him tonight. And so he's going to start a community garden right there. And I think Mary Kegler would probably be overlooking that also. So that was a great thing. Also, I talked to Patty. She the one who did the audit on our fields. So I'm seeking what more money does she has. And also, Eileen, I asked her about what can we do for Hearst Ranch.
Oh, right.
So she said she don't know, she might have done something, but she said she'll look into it, and she'll let me know this week.
Oh, that's
good. So it's all about not on us, but the community as a whole also. And as far as Sunrise Rotary, which I'm president of, now we got things coming. I just want to put it out there. October 22nd at the Grove Center in Upland, they're putting on a place called the Adams Family. Guys, you don't want to miss that. I saw Mary Poppins, the best play I ever seen. And the Adams Family, the guy said, it's going to blow that one out the water. And our tickets will be $30, but also includes a free lunch. And for all your dust, free wine. So I have Mr. Travis Terry and Denise in our club. So I want my boys to come and buy tickets and be a part of this great organization. And your daughter's in the Rotary, to interact. So I expect you guys to get tickets from me to be a part of what's going on. You guys, you will not regret it, I promise. It starts on October 22nd. It's
time?
At the Grove, October at 12. The meal started from 12 to 2.
Okay.
And every dime that we raise, we go towards shoes and socks for our most needed school kids in our district. So, you know, like the homeless, the foster kids. So we're looking for kids that really, really need that. So last year we did 200 kids. Hopefully this year, the more money we raise, the more kids we can give shoes and socks to in our district. So also, I want to relay also about our food and wine festival. I spoke to the superintendent about it, Hearst Ranch. Now we can be a sponsor. Hearst Ranch does a lot for our fourth grade students. I was there today also for the Garden Gourmet program at Monte Vista to watch those kids. So I had a wonderful time. I had a good meal with them. So if we want to go both events, it's on October the 8th and the 9th. And the one night is at the Country Club, right? Country Club. And the next night is at Hearst Ranch. Those tickets, both tickets will be $180 for if you want to go to both events. But if you want to go to Hearst Ranch only, it's $50. If you want to go to the one at the Country Club, it's $150. But if you buy them both together, it's $180. So Ms. Donna Malone asked me to see if the district would buy a whole table. It would be nice, I'm just saying, but I would like to invite my board to be a part of that organization, also be a part of this great event. So a lot of things on the table. So I'll come back about the West Covina Sunrise Rover at the Grove, and guys, you don't want to miss it. Come be a part of a great organization. And eat and drink for free.
Mr. Bowers, your Red Ribbon event is when?
Oh, gosh. I think, you know what, I was going to come back with that one. That's in October also. And this year we're expecting over 3,000 people to come to that event. That's going to be an awesome event because now we're talking, the helicopters are coming out and said people will be repelling from the helicopters. We're talking about bringing in more things, yes. You know, it's over the jaws of life, so it's going to be a bigger event this year than it was before in the past. So I will give more information on it. I'm not sure about the date on it right away, and I should know I'm the president, but I know it's the last week in October, last Saturday.
The
29th of October. So that's going to be a great event also. So me being the president of Rotary, I want to invite you guys that we always have a great opening. Free pancakes, IHOP. Anyway, I guess that does it for me, so thank you guys.
That moves us on to the student representatives' report.
Okay. Good evening, board members, district employees, and community members. I'm Cindy Sosa, student board member representing Coronado High School. Let me preface by stating that we are off to a great start at Coronado High School. Our new principal, Mrs. Pendleton, has brought a new breath of fresh air to our campus, and we are excited about the vision she has for us this school year. We currently have two seniors ready to graduate by the end of this month. Wow. We recently had our first flag football game through the San Gabriel Valley Continuation League, and we are thrilled to share that we were victorious against Mount Olive 20-12. This year, we are recognizing individual staff and students on a monthly basis. We want our Cougars to know that we acknowledge their hard work. Our staff member of the month is Nayeli Hernandez, and student of the month will be voted later this month by teachers. We will later hold an assembly this month to recognize their diligent work. Moreover, we will also have an up-to-date accumulation of credits that have been earned school-wide. Lastly, we will be having our back-to-school night tomorrow evening, and we are hoping for a good turnout from our parents. In addition, we are excited about the upcoming events we have scheduled for October. We are going to host Red Ribbon Spirit Week for all students. The Hearst Ranch Harvest Festival will again seek our students to volunteer, and we are hoping to kick off the Acceptance Campaign Anti-Bullying Project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Hinman and distinguished guests. My name is Crystal Beltran, the school board rep from West Covina High School. And then, so to begin, our school, is it on?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Okay. So to begin with, our school kicked off the school year last month with our first rally of the school year hosted by our leadership classes. And it was successfully welcoming back the staff and students. And also in August, we received the SBAC scores, and it reported that the West Covina High School class of 2017 scored higher than the California average. And this past week, we're wrapping up our Kings and Queens of Cameron week. And so with that, we held our back-to-school night and our third annual night rally. And while we weren't able to take away a win from South Hills in volleyball, on Saturday, we did come out with a win in football. And our school spirit was definitely phenomenal. And then this week at school, we are holding Club Promo Week, in which students can learn about the various clubs on campus that they can join, from academic to athletic. And then this Saturday, our school is hosting a mock SAT. And our College and Career Center has also just opened on campus. And we're going to be holding senior common application workshops at the end of this month. Our campus is also going to be offering SAT classes in preparation for the November SAT, so for juniors and seniors, so that they can get in their test scores. And then lastly, at the end of this month, our Renaissance program will be hosting the Bulldog Idol singing competition, and at the beginning of next month is our homecoming. So on October 7th is our game and our rally, and the dance is on October 8th. Thank you.
Good evening, board members and Dr. Hinman. Thank you for the opportunity of speaking on behalf of Edgewood. We kicked off the year with a successful and enthusiastic first day of school from teachers, staff, and the student body. Our ASB organized the Welcome Back Dance that took place on August 26. We had a great turnout from the student body with participation from ASB and faculty. The event was very lively and the music got us going. We also had back-to-school night on August 31st, in which we had food trucks and performances from our dance programs during the event. There was a huge parent turnout from our current students. Also, during back-to-school night, I personally spoke with potential parents that are thinking of joining the Lion family. Mm. Parents also supported our school and other school organizations through the fundraising that took place during our event. The event was also very successful in bringing the attention to our IB programs that Edgewood offers. Furthermore, we will be holding our Edgewood Awards night tomorrow from 5 to 8 p.m. We would like to invite the board and Dr. Hinman to attend the awards night if possible. Lastly, on September 28th, Edgewood will be hosting the second annual District College Fair in the gym from 5 to 8 p.m. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It was great having all three of you make the presentations about your schools. It really personalized it and brought it alive. So thank you so much. I have no blue cards. Excuse me. I almost skipped Dr. Hinman. Informal report. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Polis. Before I begin, I also want to welcome Cindy, Crystal, and Francisco. Great job right out of the chute. Your opinions really do matter. Mm-hmm. You are representing your school body, and by all means, especially when you're sitting up on the dais, you do have the opportunity to participate if there's an issue that's important to you or your school sites as well. So welcome. By all means, If you're at the dais, we hope that you'll join us for the entire evening. There will be nights when you're not at the dais that you might have AP work. Our homework, we understand, but by all means, you're always welcome to stay. Crystal, just really quick, you talked about school spirit. I just want to say I've been in this business a long time, and when I went to the Kings of Cameron game, and I got there about 35 minutes early, the stands were packed. There was no sitting seating room. Your students filled the entire stadium, and on the South Hills side, there were like a few parents, you know, milling around,
yeah.
Literally 1,000 empty seats, and I just think that says so much about our schools. You know, I could say the same thing about all our schools, but that was one particular incident that just really stand out. So I just really commend the work that you guys are doing over there, because school morale is everything. Enjoy your high school years, not only academic and preparing for college, but also you're supposed to enjoy your high school time. So I hope you'll all do that. So thank you.
Thank you.
We have a couple of announcements I want to make, and first and foremost, we have an important introduction to make, so I will turn it over to Mr. Seaman.
A little bit different at this time. At the last board meeting, the board had approved the hire of a new administrator for us, the chief fiscal executive.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Can we
thank
get a
you.
Picture?
Yeah. By all means.
Yeah, this is a big moment for your family.
Yeah. John? See you, babe. Good to see you.
Welcome. So happy to have you. You have to tell us about San Marino and how to pass them. That's my goal. I'm past Covina, South Hill. My goal is San Marino.
Are you sure? I thought I was supposed to stay.
It's up to you. You don't have to stay.
Oh, good.
She don't have to stay.
Yeah.
Are you sure? I was told that I have
oh,
to stay.
Oh, very nice.
No, you don't really
yeah.
have to stay.
Yeah, I don't have anything. That's a good
okay.
photo.
You have to stay.
Okay, then. Thank you, guys. It was nice meeting you.
Okay, let's see you again.
Very good. Yeah, welcome. Yes, welcome.
Bye, Mr. Flowers.
Okay, we love you.
You guys get to go for gets to stay.
John gets to stay. Who said that? The boss. He got to get these.
I have no blue cards for items from the floor. Is there anybody who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing no one, that will move us on to the business section and the organizational part of our meeting. There are we are going to be tabling C5, C6, and C7. Is there anything else anyone would like to take off of consent?
Yes. Sorry. No, it's already off of consent.
Did you say B or D?
Can we add A3 and D8?
No, A3, I have some questions.
P8?
D8.
Or Daniel.
Is everyone fine with putting DH? We had a nice little, we saw the presentation. Yes. Well, and he sent us the presentation and we all went over it thoroughly.
Yeah. He's fine with that.
John wasn't looking for his big moment? There'll be plenty more, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all in favor of the agenda as amended?
I'll move the agenda tabling item C5, C6, C7, adding D8 to consent and removing B5 from consent.
I'll second that.
It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez to approve the agenda as amended and the consent items for their regular meeting of September 13, 2016. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That moves us to A3. We will take them one by one. Does anybody have anything on BPAR 3513.3? On certification, BPAR 4112.1?
0.2.
Excuse me. BP AR 4113 assignment. Any questions on that? Evaluation and suspension. BP AR
supervision.
Oh, supervision. Excuse me. 4115. Any questions? Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
Okay, colleagues on 3Q. I just needed some clarification. It's not written in here. And by the way, the rewrites were excellent. So it was, if that was staff, that was really well done in comparison to what we had before. So thank you. But my question on 3Q was 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph down, where it says that the employee will be evaluated and assessed at least every other year. If the employer receives an unsatisfactory evaluation, he or she shall be annually evaluated until he or she achieves a positive evaluation. My question doesn't necessarily need to be written in, but my question was, what happens if it's a personality issue? There are times when teachers don't get along with principals, principals don't get along with teachers, and so it can be a very retaliatory setting. So I wanted to know, what do we have in place for that?
Well,
maybe somebody who hasn't been complained about before, and then all of a sudden now there's complaints.
The evaluatee can always lodge a concern against the evaluator if that's the case. Generally speaking, you know, the system is designed. You have an evaluator, and it's, you know, as long as it's the criteria designed by set by law of what your evaluative process is. However, if the evaluatee does feel there's a conflict of personality or there's an injustice being done, they have every right to speak to the supervisor of the evaluator, who would then make the decision if, in fact, the conflict existed.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, I guess there's always their recourse with their union as well.
Generally speaking, 99.8% of the time, the union would be involved at that stage of the game anyway.
Okay, okay, that was my question with that. And then, oh, I'm sorry, we're to the next.
BPAR 422, teacher's aides, / paraprofessionals. Are there any questions on that?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay, on page 3S, 1, 2, 3 paragraphs down, I was curious about who does the evaluation for the paraprofessionals. It's not clearly delineated here. And on that particular paragraph, it almost makes it seem as if they're the supervisor and perhaps a supervisor would be doing. It says paraprofessionals shall be under the immediate supervision and direction of certificated personnel. I'm assuming that means in the classroom, but then who does their evaluation? It does talk about they'll have a job description with their responsibilities, but is that the principal or designee or?
It
wasn't clear here.
Mr. Seaman, do you want to address that? If not, Ms. Knudsen.
Yes, the supervision and direction would be from the certificated individual in the classroom, but the evaluation is done by the administrator of the school.
Okay.
If it's a secondary school, it could be by the co-administrator, the assistant principal, or the principal. They are not evaluated by the certificated employee.
Okay. Is there a way that we can add that so that it's very clear on our board policy that it's the principal or principal's designee?
It's not specifically stated in their contract, except it does say their immediate supervisor. But we could add it to this particular.
Okay, and according to what we're reading here, immediate supervisor almost sounds like it's the teacher. So I just wanted to be real clear because
the supervision and direction is done by the teacher, but the evaluation is done by the administrator.
Right, and that we don't say that. So is there a way that we can add that line?
On AR4115B, it says qualifications of evaluators. The superintendent or deputy shall assign the principal or other appropriate supervisory personnel to evaluate certificated staff. So do we add it there, or certificated / paraprofessional staff instead of creating a whole new area?
Is there a case where in our district where an administrator does not evaluate but a certificated or classified person does? Is it always an administrator do the evaluations?
On a paraprofessional, it's going to be the administrator, and that's what this talks about. When we do have classified staff based in maintenance yard and things like that,
right,
then we do have classified evaluating a classified staff like Dave Larkin evaluating.
But they're administrators.
Right.
So my point is an administrator – either evaluate certificated or classified personnel at all times.
Correct.
So we can add it, absolutely, okay. But the super administration, at whatever level, is the evaluating body in this school district.
Thank you. We do make it real clear with the classified. It's real clear. It says it. So that was my only – that was my concern. That was it.
Okay. So were we adding it to the AR?
It's an easy add if that's what the board would like us to do.
I would.
Yeah.
It's for first and second reading, so if as long as it's added, you don't care if it's in the board policy or in the AR. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I'm okay with either one. Well, the board policy. Because we have it for the teachers in the board policy. So that way it's the same. We're staying consistent. So in the board policy, can we pull that one and just have that one come back and all the rest can go through? I'm okay with all the rest. I'm sorry, that's if nobody else has questions on the others. I apologize.
We can approve it for first reading on that one.
Okay.
If you look at frequency of evaluations, I'm going to make a recommendation under AR 4115A. You could say each certificate employee with permanent status shall be evaluated and assessed at least every other year by a district administrator.
That's two different groups. That one refers to certificated employees.
Okay.
Yeah, but the paraprofessionals every year, though, right?
Yes.
Every year.
Same. Is that same sentence exist?
We
can add it to the board policy 4222.
Okay.
At the same place
that we had the
concern, if you want.
Okay, thank you.
That's what the board wants.
Right.
Adding that, are you then okay with approving it for first and second reading, or do you want it to
be amended?
I'd like to see it. And so if we can pull that one. So let's just approve that one for first reading.
And now, if any more discussion on teachers' aid to paraprofessionals, then that moves on to BPAR 5131.62, tobacco. Are there any questions? Okay. Sure.
I'll move to accept for first and second reading BPAR 3513.3, BPAR 4112.2, BPAR 4113, BPAR 4115, BPAR 5131.62. Can I do and for first reading so we don't have to do separate votes, or do you want separate votes? And for first reading, BPAR 4222. Yeah. Okay.
So we're doing them all for first reading?
No. All of them except the last one. I said for first and second reading.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It was moved by Jessica Shoemaker and seconded by Eileen Miranda Jimenez to accept for first and second reading the following policies as presented by Ms. Shoemaker. I'm going to say them all over again. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's part of that motion and was for first reading.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, that moves us on to A4, Information Report, Senate Bill 415.
Thank you, President Polis. This is a very interesting item. This is, as stated, is a discussion item. Based on the board discussion, staff will take action that we feel is the general consensus of the board. So with that being said, I don't want to keep the rabbit in the hat any longer, so I will turn this over to Mr. Seaman.
Well, thank you very much. Board, this is a Senate Bill 415 deals with voter participation. There was some concern from legislators that there wasn't enough participation in voting on non-statewide voting dates. So there were some things that came up. There were some concerns over the low voter turnout. They thought that the best way to those school districts and cities that have low voter turnout is to try to hold those elections at the same time as statewide elections, which is opposite of what we have right now. So the SB 415 changed some parts of the elections code. This all goes into place very shortly. It established when you could hold your elections and what the criteria was if you wanted to continue to hold them on non-statewide election days. So if your voter turnout was 25% less for your school board elections, or city elections, we'll just focus on school board elections, than it is for statewide elections, then you have to change from the odd years to the even years and coincide with the statewide elections. The impact of this particular bill for us directly is right now our elections are in odd years and it follows board policy and ed code when we establish a district and establish the elections. So we have a bylaw right now, 9110, that says when our elections are, how long the terms are, and how those things go. I got information from the Registrar of Voters, Alex Olvera, actually. Sent some information to us about our last four statewide elections, not counting the one that's coming up in 2016, and our last four board elections. And when we look at those numbers and the percentages, as the board will see when they get this, we do not meet the criteria to continue having our elections on dates other than statewide election years. So, just a second to get down there. It's all based on percentages.
Look,
voter registration changes each year. Obviously, voter turnout changes each year. You can see from the percentage that you're about to get. So, looking at the top part of that box, the average voter turnout for statewide elections was 53.98%. And the average voter turnout for board elections was 16%. And the highest turnout we had was in 2009 at 21.13%. So all the board elections would not qualify to be within 25% of the statewide election average that we have. So based on the criteria of SB 415 and the elections code, we would not qualify to continue having our elections in the odd years. So we do need to transition eventually to even years. That being said, there's a timeline that's evolved. The way the bill is written, by January 1st, 2018, we would need to have a plan in place, or have a plan agreed upon or voted on to put into place by November 2022. Like a long time away. That really basically is not the next election ever, or you can do it now. That's the reason. The beauty of the elections code gives you the ability to do this now if you want to get ahead of the game. If we do change, or when we do change, I should say, based on the numbers we would need to, it looks like we would probably have higher voter participation in the board elections. It would reduce our district operating costs because the way they charge us for an election is based on the participation and what's on the ballot and things like that. So our costs for district would go down. If we did vote an even year, the way to do that, because your terms are set at 4 years, there is part of the elections code that allows for your term to be extended for this purpose. So if we, when we do this, we would extend the board member's term for a year, and that would give us two even years and coincide with the state of the election. We'd have to adjust our board policy. The board policy says odd years, 4 year term. The process for this, we'd adopt a resolution. The board would adopt a resolution. That resolution, after being adopted, spells out what our plan is. Coincide with this bill, we would then submit it to the County Board of Supervisors. County Board of Supervisors would then decide to approve or not approve that particular resolution. We have to submit this 240 days prior to the next election that we choose to make this change. And then we would have to, obviously, after that's approved, they take the responsibility to notify the registered voters. And then we would have to amend our board bylaw. The timeline did say, by January 1st, 2018, so we've got time to think about this and figure out what the board would like to do.
Mr. Seaman, just to put it in layman terms, the question on the table is to the board. You do have the opportunity to move the elections to 2018, which would extend two of you to 18, and it would extend the other three to 20. Or you can stay status quo. You can run the election in 2017, but after that election, immediately you would have to pass a resolution to push it out to 18. So it's really sitting in two of your laps versus the group, because three of you will be pushed out regardless because the data forces us to do it. So that being said, I just wonder, was that correct, everything I just said?
The plan would have to be adopted by January 18th, implemented by 2022. So you actually could have the election in 17 and the election in 19.
Okay.
But you
thank you.
Have the election in
21.
Election code does allow for you to do that, you know, get ahead of the game and do that now if you chose to do that.
Questions?
No, just a statement. I don't know why they didn't just say, hey, all cities and school boards and water districts, you're going on the regular schedule, because, I mean, the presidential election in 2008 had 79.14. There is not a school district on the planet that's going to have that type of turnout. So, you know, I wish, as usual, they would have just been straightforward with what they're trying to do.
I was a little, when I saw the average in 2014, actually brought our average down. Yeah. Otherwise, it probably would have been closer to 65 or 70.
A9.
Do you need us to make a decision?
No.
No.
No, direction.
This is just discussion,
they're
conversation.
They're just letting us know.
We're just listening. But since you brought that up, Trustee Menares, I will say one of my roles as staff is to make recommendations, and I'm only going to give you my opinion only. I would love to extend each of your seats by 1 year.
I did have a question about the reduced operating costs approximately. I know that we don't know for sure, but what are we looking at for it dropping by? We're reducing our cost by 10%, by 50, because a statewide election is very large and far-reaching. So,
Dr. Coughlin?
So
do you know what our last election
does?
It runs, $120,000.
So
the research that I had in the bill just said that because of the way the costs are distributed in the statewide election, that it would filter out more and it would be less costly than the
right.
They call certain names.
It would still
districts
cost.
And cities.
Right, it would, but by 50%
cost
or okay. We don't know.
A political subdivision.
What's funny is that it just seems so self-serving. Well, of course, extend my. So, you want to sit here and it's almost like getting that raise, huh?
Well, and coming into tonight, my main question was, do we meet so that we don't have to move our election? Because, you know, a lot of times we've been on odd because of. It makes the cost less, the voter base is less, you speak more directly to the community that takes an interest in these positions and what they do. And so, I mean, if we don't have a choice, then we might as well do it now and not keep kicking the can down the road.
We have to make the decision by 2022, but if we were going to move them, when does that...
Your plan has to be implemented by 2022.
Right.
The plan actually has to be in the county right by January 1st, 2018.
And I don't see how implemented by 2022, when we approve elections as they come up, that there will be a plan that as of this year will move it.
So
we're not a district that usually follows.
So if we were going to do this, when would it, I mean, it, and we wanted to take action on something, when would it need to be done by, it could be done, it can be done before January 22nd, 2018, correct?
It can, yes.
And it can be done anytime?
Staff would prepare a resolution and we would bring it back to the board meeting.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's election code 10404.5 that allows you to do it outside of this law in general. Consolidated.
I'm sorry, you said staff would.
I just said based on this conversation, if we feel that
it's a thin conversation.
Yeah, that we would bring back a resolution or bring it back for another discussion item, but either way, we would go forward and make a recommendation to the board.
Okay. And I don't hear consensus to do it sooner than later, but I did hear.
I'm
yes.
Fine with doing it sooner.
Oh,
it just
okay.
It feels very odd. It feels very.
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah, I'm fine with doing it sooner. I mean, let's be prepared. Let's know what we're doing. We have our plan in place. We're not scrambling. So I'm always all for being proactive and being ahead of the game.
Oh, and like I said, I thought it felt self-serving until we were told we have to do it based on our voter numbers.
So if we could direct the staff to write a resolution, and then we can discuss that then. Is there any further discussion on this issue?
That takes us to B5.
Thank you. Thank you. This is good information. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think there were extras. Can I have another sheet? This is good info to have at your fingertips. Thank you.
School climate and solutions. Daniel Maneras, you took this off of consent. Would you like to?
Yeah, I just wanted a little more information. We have the school climate solutions, and it appears to be anti-bullying, either curriculum or some type of program that's going to be administered at the secondary level. The price tag has the potential to get up to $30,000. So I was just kind of interested on what this exactly was, since it's going to be at the secondary level, and you know, these campaigns are a little more difficult sometimes at that age, with that age group. So I just wanted to get a little more detail on what exactly it is, how our students going to be part of it, because it looks like it's aimed at students, staff, and parents.
I'd be happy to answer that question. As you know, we've really been pushing our anti-bullying. We had Mr. O'Grady come in last year, and he did a lot of work with our students and faculty at the secondary sites. And we're trying to back him off a little bit because we want to make sure that our sites can start doing some self-sustaining things. So what we've done is we now have teachers that we've provided stipends to, and they're taking ownership at each of their school sites to take the lead on the anti-bullying. And one of the things that they did share with us is that they felt like they really needed some resources to support them. And so when we looked at this organization, they provide a wide range of different modules that focus on everything from anti-bullying, Mark Trevatori's gone now, but school safety. And also, as you know, we have a new mental health team that will be doing parent education, and they have modules in that area as well. So it's really just a support to get kind of our grassroots effort of our staff taking this on rather than having a consultant come in. And they just had shared that they needed some additional resources. We're hoping that it won't just be secondary. Right now, that's what we're focused on. We would really like to, in future years, move it down to the elementary, but we wanted to first have a look at what the success rate was at the secondary level.
So we are gathering data to see if, from this point on, we see an increase in the behavior improvement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And Board Member Nares, if I can just share, you know, oftentimes, you know, it's qualitative, right? It's a school environment. And what I found last year with Dr. O'Grady's work is that, you know, he brought in Cameron. Cameron. I just went brain dead. I am so sorry.
Coronado.
Thank you. Coronado did one of the best jobs at this, this anti-bullying movement and bringing the kids together and really talking about these type of issues led by, you know, Dr. O'Grady. And one of the things that came out of it from our counselors and our teachers who are the supervisors, as Denise was just describing, the ownership piece is curriculum. We need a little more curriculum to go with that. And that's what this provides. You know, it is a pilot. You know, I'll be honest with you. They're going to sit down. They're going to see these modules, which in turn would spur the conversation. It's when that conversation takes place that the adults need to monitor and supervise and make sure that we're on track. But hindsight 2020, we would have shown you a presentation on this, a little more detail. And as we move through the school year, we will provide you both qualitative and quantitative data about the results of this. So thank you for asking. Sorry, Cameron. Or Coronado. My poor brain.
Coronado.
Sorry, Coronado. I will be there tomorrow night, okay?
Yeah.
When you see me tomorrow, say, school name right there.
Thank you.
Are there any additional questions on this item?
So there will be a presentation.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Will someone move this item?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
It was moved by Daniel Maneras and seconded by Michael Flowers to approve the online training modules provided by School Climate Solutions for September 14th, 2016 and June 7th, 2017. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I really appreciate the parent component it has also. So for the modules, and if we can, the more we can do of that, the better.
Absolutely.
So that was a nice plus for that. That brings us to the end of our meeting. Is there any further Board of Education discussion?
I have one discussion.
Mr. Flowers.
And it's concerning our students on the board. We already talked that we want them to stay, but do they, if we not nothing pertaining to them, do they really have to stay here with us, sitting on the dais?
Well, that's a board direction. As a superintendent, I will tell you yes. I think that because you never know what item, a discussion item is going to come up at what point in the board meeting that might be relative to what's going on in their day-to-day life. And you know, we haven't seen it much last year, but I will tell you that it may be rare in occasion, but when that thought does come forward, it can be very thought-provoking to the board and have influence. So by all means, if you have a commitment, then you can't. I would say this to all the members. We understand. I mean, the last thing you need to be out is late on a Tuesday night. But that being said, my opinion, and I'll turn it over to President Polis, is that we would like them to stay.
Now, unless, like, suppose they have, like, a project or something that has to be done, they're studying, being tested, they can leave at that if something comes up on that.
We prefer, and we had this discussion earlier,
right.
that they stay.
But we haven't discussed
but
it with him.
But if there's issues that come up and mm-hmm. you have to leave, that's understandable. But, for example, we just had something on school climate.
Right.
Who best to talk about school climate than students?
Yeah.
They're living it day in and day out. So when we start these modules and things going on, and then we get the presentation that, oh, look at what it's happening, and you can say, but you know what? It didn't take in this into right. No one looked at this particular aspect. And if they could look at that, that would really help at Coronado. And then Edgewood might have something to say, that's helping us, but we have a completely different issue.
Mm-hmm.
And without the students' input, we're not going to hear that.
Yeah.
So we appreciate if you can stay, but if you can't, we understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are projects, and I know there's a lot of pressure on students nowadays, and we do think of your mental health.
And President Polis, another conversation that the board had when you, in the spring, when we were talking about this, if there's enough advance notice of whoever is on the dais that evening and is not going to be able to make it or leave early, if one of their counterparts wanted to take switch off, that's always possible as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So thank you for representing and staying.
The dates to remember, back to school night for Coronado tomorrow night, Walnut Grove the 15th, the Teacher of the Year luncheon on the 16th, and our next Board of Education meeting is September 27th. We will be adjourning at 8:28.
Perfect. Thank you all.